Hello, everybody. This is the Pacifica Foundation's Audit Committee meeting. It is August 8th, 2022. It's now 8:41 p.m., and we're going to start this meeting. Let me get out my agenda. First thing is to have the roll call. Adriana, would you probably do that?
Mm-hmm. I can make the roll call.
Yeah, please do. Go ahead.
Thank you. Lynn Dingman?
He won't be able to make it tonight. I did hear from him.
Yeah, he has another meeting.
Catherine O'Sullivan?
And she's driving. She expects to be in and out with patchy connections.
Marilyn Tony?
I'm here.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Sorry, who?
Vela de Soto, Evelia Jones, Elizabeth Milos, Zach Caldevier.
Elizabeth is here.
I'm sorry. I need to make the roll call because it's for the audio. The audio. Akio Tanaka.
Here.
Egberto Willis.
I'm here.
Adriana Casnave is here. Sarah Brown?
Here.
Donna Grimes?
Here.
Eileen Rosen?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have 9 people present at roll call. We have 1. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. All right. The next item on our agenda is to select timekeepers. Do I have any volunteers?
I'll go ahead and do that if you want, Arlene.
Great. Who is that?
Marilyn.
Sorry?
Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn. Yeah. Go ahead. And, of course, since we have a guest who's making a presentation, he is not limited to the 2 minutes per intervention, of course. So,
Madam Chair?
Yes, Adriana.
I think that will be important that you present the people that are here too for this.
I am going to do that, Adriana. Let me get here.
Thank you.
As I present this meeting tonight, we are going to have a presentation. In fact, this is the only item we really have on the agenda, which is a presentation by our auditor, Jorge Diaz of Rogers and Company, of the fiscal year 2021. Audited financial statement. We also have present with us two of the people that helped work on it from NETA, which would be George Walter and Julia Kennard. And I seem to always have a problem remembering their exact titles. So I'll tell you who they are when they first speak, if they decide to speak up. But for now, I really just want to hand it over to Jorge so we can, we've all been looking forward to this for a long time.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
Yes, Adriana?
We have in the agenda, we have first the approval of the minutes.
You are so right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Since we only have this, this one item on the agenda, followed by other business and next meeting date. Can we approve this agenda as it is? Are there any objections?
Including the minute of May 16 and June 6.
I believe we've already approved those from May 16.
No, we didn't.
Okay.
Everybody receive it, I'll send it to everybody. And Madam Chair, I accept Ms. Brown. I'm very sorry that I accept all the changes or the corrections in the punctuation that you make, you send to me, and I will amend the minutes having exactly your punctuation. Thank you.
Okay. I see Bella De Soto has joined us, so you can add her to the list of present. All right, can we move this? Excuse me.
Elizabeth present.
sorry.
Elizabeth, I know you're there. Please, please don't interrupt. Can we approve this agenda? Are there any objections?
So moved.
Bella DeSoto, Madam Chair.
What is it, Bella?
We are missing some backlog of minutes.
Bella? Bella, we're going to approve the minutes that we have in hand or not. And that's all we have right now.
I cannot hear you.
All right. Can everybody else hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Fred can hear you fine.
Okay, everybody else can hear me fine then. Bella, please turn up your volume then.
I move that we accept the minutes. Is that in order?
Hang on a second. Please don't interrupt anybody unless you're making a move, motion like that. Let's take them one by one. May 16th, as you know, the minutes can always be amended later. So I would like us to accept the May 16th minutes.
Second.
Could Fred make a comment about the minutes?
Sure, Fred.
I read over the minutes today, Adriana, and the minutes are more like a complete transcript of the meeting rather than action minutes.
Fred.
Yeah.
We're only talking about May 16th right now.
May 16th and June 29th. I have the similar comment that the minutes are more like are like transcript of the entire meeting rather than just minutes. And,
yes, I was going to bring that up for June.
Madam Chair, may I answer again?
I would wanted to say that we should perhaps keep our minutes to what has been done.
I would like to amend the minutes.
Excuse me, don't interrupt, please.
Sorry.
Yes, thank you. Because when you interrupt, whether it's me or somebody else, we lose our train of thought, and then it takes a lot longer. So just try not to do that. So I would ask that especially the June 6th minutes be revised to just pull out decisions, motions, official business. And the rest of it can be left in perhaps a separate document of some sort. We don't need entire transcripts because the audio is generally posted the following day. So people can go back and listen to conversations or who said what or all the different ideas. So that is my feeling. Adriana, please go ahead with your response.
According to our practice and what the rule of orders, the minutes, the secretary is the one that prepares the minutes. When I send the minutes to everybody, I send an email claiming that because of the importance of the June 6th, that's why I make a transcription, because some of us are being attacked when we make commentaries about what happened in that meeting. I'm sorry. This is the prerogative of the secretary. If anybody has things that they want to be correct, please send it to me and I can correct it. But the importance of the June 6th meeting is that we need to have the minutes showing what really happened. I agree with you. The audio is there, but sometimes it's not. That's why I believe that it's important that we have the document. It was an open meeting. And if somebody discuss anything, we can talk about what do you think that is not right. Normally, my minutes are shorter, and I explain specifically why, and I send it by email to everybody, why we are like this. Thank you.
Okay, a lot of people have their hand up. I really want to get through this in the next 5 minutes. We have a guest. We have other plans for this meeting. Marilyn, please keep it quick, 2 minutes.
Yes, I will. I just want to point out, Adriana, in the June 6th minutes, the resolution that we passed at the end of the meeting It's there in two versions, one in bold on page 19 and one, it's not bold on page 22. And I believe the one in bold on 19 is the one that we passed because I wrote it down at the time. I just wanted to point that out to you. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. I think that at the end I put, this is the final motion that we pass, right? In bold?
Yeah, but then in the footnotes or something, it was slightly different. We can write about it later. I'll write you about it later if you want.
Thank you, Marilyn.
All right, next is Bella. 2 minutes.
Yes, so I don't mind the transcript at all, and I agree with Adriana. Too much and too little has happened at this committee, and that is an important archival of traffic. So we should keep it as is, maybe like it was just suggested, a minor correction here and there, if it's deemed necessary. Thanks, but we're still missing minutes.
Yes, we know that. Thank you. Okay, Elizabeth?
Yes, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I'm on the phone because I don't have I don't have my computer with me right now. So I will try not to interrupt in the future. I'll ask for permission to speak. I agree with Adriana that we need very clear minutes, precisely because I am one of the people that is being attacked with false accusations of having attacked staff in my comments at this particular meeting, which I did not. So it's, for me, it's very important that we keep a very accurate record of what was said and what I said in particular. I agree with Adriana that we need to keep, if necessary, verbatim, because at this point, you know, it was very soothing to me to be able to have an audio backup to prove that I am innocent of the falsehoods that are being expressed about me. Thank you.
All right, thanks. I actually don't even know what you're talking about. I will have to either listen or look at those minutes, which I think we just got yesterday or today, and 20 pages is a lot to get through. Adriana?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move that we approve the minutes of May 16 and June 6.
I object.
That's how the committee works, right?
We need actual minutes, normal minutes that show, in addition to this, perhaps, minutes, who was there, if there were votes, if there were motions, what happened, and that's it, you know, normal minutes.
Madam Chair,
are you willing to prepare
the meeting? I ask for a roll call.
Adriana, excuse me.
I second the roll call.
And I challenge the chair, Bella DeSoto. It is not your call to rule for the body.
You were not called on, Bella. All right, listen, forget it. Let's just approve them, and I will produce normal minutes for the sake of future audit inspections of our minutes. Let us move forward.
All right, approved. Take the roll call.
No, we don't need to. Does anybody else object? No, no other objections. They're approved.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, this point is closed. Thank you. Can we move on now, please? Jorge. I am hoping that you can start your presentation for us.
Okay, great. Good afternoon, or good evening, everybody. My name is Jorge Diaz with Rogers & Company. The purpose of this call, or this meeting, is to walk through the audited financial statements and really just for you all to ask any questions about the process, the statements, the disclosures, anything whatsoever. And really, this is your meeting, and happy to again really address anything. Now, The idea is that I'll probably speak for, about maybe 15 to 20 minutes and then open up the floor to any questions. But, if you have a quick question or however you all deal with it, I kind of forget in previous meetings, you can always stop me at any given point in time. Now, would you like me, do you think it'd be helpful, should I share my screen? Would you think that'd be helpful if I walk through the financials that way, or would you prefer I not do that?
No, that's
yes.
Do that.
Yeah, screen share,
yeah, might as well. And let me preface this by saying, please do not burst in, anybody, to ask Jorge a question. Please wait to the end of the section or some pause so okay. that we don't interrupt Jorge.
So hopefully you all can see this. Now, this is in draft form, but the numbers are solid and essentially once you all approve it, we'll get this thing finalized as soon as possible. But we are essentially done, although this does say draft. And the first couple pages, of course, is the independent auditor's report. This is a very, obviously, what we issue as the auditors. It summarizes management's responsibilities as well as auditor's responsibilities. Of course, management's responsible for, the fair presentation of the financials as well as relevant internal controls, implementation, stuff like that. Us as the audit firm, we need to design an audit to be able to get reasonable assurance that they're free of material misstatements. And we also have to be looking at, certain things like understanding controls and stuff like that or lack thereof to help support and design our audit procedures. Now, the good news is this will be a clean or an unmodified opinion. As a reminder, and I'm sure everyone knows, there were some disclaimers and not the best opinions in previous years because of what was going on with the benefit plans. I'm happy to report that since that is in the rearview mirror for the past couple of years, your 2021 and 2020 here in this financial statements will be clean across the board, which is on the balance sheet as well as the statement of activity. So, all is good news there. We do have an emphasis on matter paragraph regarding going concern, substantial doubt. You've seen this before. We've had this in here. This does not impact the overall financial statement opinion, but this does bring the attention point to certain footnotes in the back to the reader saying that, yes, there's some financial concerns about Pacifica and what all is being done to try and essentially turn things around. So you've seen this. This has been on the, at least since we've been the auditors in the past few years, you've had this paragraph in here. So this year is no different. The last paragraph in this report then touches on just that there are some supplemental schedules, which is really just breaking out the core financial statements by station. You've had that in the past as well. So this is just, again, alerting the financial statement reader that there are some extra schedules that aren't required, but they are in this audit to, again, show the breakout between each division. Now, the first financial statement here is the statement of financial position. That's just nonprofit lingo for a balance sheet. Okay, so what this does is summarizes the assets, liabilities, and the net assets or net deficit for Pacifica as a whole for both 2021 and 2020. So first part of this is your overall assets. Assets were up slightly, about 2% or $81,000. The big takeaway that your cash was up on hand a little bit, about $80,000, which helped boost your overall assets. But this is largely timing driven, okay? So anytime you have certain events or things that can drastically change your balance sheet. I wouldn't get too hung up on the swings as to why things went up or why things went down, especially this late in the game. We're almost at the end of fiscal year 22, but point is that your assets were up compared to where they were at the end of September 30th, 2020. And predominantly it's in because of the movement in your cash position as well as your investments. Now, your cash position was up because, you were able to take advantage of Paycheck Protection Program, which ultimately helps boost your cash position and also the EIDL loan program, which you'll see a new category on this balance sheet as well. But, cash going up or cash going down is largely, there's a lot of moving parts there. But again, the big events that did occur, so why your cash was up, had to do with those you all taking advantage of the COVID COVID relief programs and stuff like that. You know, to that end, in the middle of this page is your liabilities. Now, your total liabilities, they were also up slightly, about 2%. And you'll see a new category here, the EIDL loan payable, which I just alluded to. So for the fiscal year ending 21, this, you all had a balance of almost $150,000, which is essentially what you applied for originally. We do have a footnote in here saying that subsequent to year end, that you also took some further draws on that program all the way up to $2 million as allowable under the under that relief package. So, you know, that $2 million liability, you'll see that come on your balance sheet in the next year audit for the fiscal year 22. Outside of that liability, everything's fairly consistent, at least from a categorical standpoint. Really just have accounts payable, your accrued expenses, and then your equipment loan payable, which has been on the books, as well as the note payable as well regarding FJC. So, you know, again, nothing really different in your liabilities outside of that EIDL loan payable, which again is a new category this year. And then last but certainly not least is your net assets or your reserves. You have two categories here. This is your deficit, which is without donor restrictions. And then also because you do have an endowment and some temp restricted, small amount of temp restricted programs, you also have with donor restrictions, which essentially is that endowment or some other things that donors have earmarked for other programs or future events sitting in there. So the two categories, actually, when you add those together, equals your total net deficit. And it's very close to what it was at the end of fiscal year 20. You almost did break even with just a slight deficit of about $15,000. So again, you know, you didn't eat into that deficit, but you certainly didn't make matters worse by having having a tough year. And, you know, one of the biggest events, which I'll touch on also in a moment, that really helped your year was recently, you know, you did get some good news regarding the accrued property taxes that you all thought you had to pay out for your KPFA properties. There was a good news there that you retroactively got a lot of those penalties and interest and taxes waived all the way back to, I believe, 2014. So that was accrued, and that was a big liability on your balance sheet. And so the fact that that was good news, we were able to take a lot of that benefit in this fiscal year audit because it was something that occurred prior to issuance of these financials, but that related to previous years that you all had accrued for. So, you know, that was a big, one of the big reasons as to why, you know, you almost had a break even year, on a P&L standpoint. And that's summarized on this next page here. So, the first part of this, financial statement, and this is the, statement of activities or P&L, is your operating revenue and support. You know, it was down a little bit, about $411,000. To see your grants and contributions, there are good levels there, but just as a reminder, that's where the Paycheck Protection Program funds, they need to be treated as a grant once they ultimately get forgiven or once you all recognize them. So that's why you do see some higher levels in your grants and contributions. But ultimately, you know, your listener support and donations was down, which ultimately drove your total operating revenue to about $411,000 less than what you saw in the previous year. Now, in the middle of this page is your expenses. These were up slightly, about 2.5% or $296,000, which I'll touch on more in a moment. And then you can see, you know, you add those together, you have, you know, a sizable loss in operating net assets, but it was then caught up and almost wiped out completely because of this gain on the accrued property tax liabilities that was on your books for years that kept accruing. And ultimately, again, that will not, you will not have to be paying those property taxes, which again, so, you know, your operations was still, you know, not a great year, but that event that we recently learned of certainly helped turn it to where you only had about a $15,000 total deficit or a loss on the year, I should say. So, you know, again, didn't make things, you know, didn't make things much worse hopefully moving forward, you continue to have, some better years and also hopefully eating into this net deficit ultimately. Now, talk a little bit about expenses. This is, this next page to go over is the functional expense statement. This summarizes your natural categories on the left pane there, and it breaks it up by your program service and supporting service functions. Not unique to any nonprofit, your biggest expense is your personnel, what you're paying your employees. Those were actually down slightly. Your total personnel was down about $150,000, but you did have some increases in your board meetings, your direct mail and telemarketing, your legal fees, your accounting and auditing was up as well. I mean, 2021, you actually got two audits done to try and keep catching you up and getting you current. So that's why you also see your audit and accounting line up. So that's just one example. So there were a few things, but again, ultimately your total expenses were only up about 2.5% compared to where they were at 2020. And really nothing really jumps out the page except that, just a little higher fees from the consultants, such as, the audit fees for having those two audits, some higher legal fees. Some of these gains or some of these increases in these expenses, we also saw some decreases, for example, in your personnel costs. Okay. The last statement to touch on is your cash flow. What this does is, if you don't look at a lot of these frequently, they're somewhat confusing, but it takes your accrual-based change in net assets and it backs out non-cash and timing type differences to see how it arrived at your cash position. So it makes it a little easier if you start from the bottom to the top here, but you did increase your cash basis of accounting by $80,000 compared to what it was in 2020. And if you just kind of look up at some larger other positives, that can kind of give you an overall explanation as to why that did occur. So, the big takeaway here is that your financing activities helps boost your cash flow. So that was the proceeds from the Paycheck Protection Program, as well as the proceeds from the EIDL. Those were the two big takeaways for your overall cash being up. And I imagine, all things else equal, that your cash position will be in even better shape next year because, again, of the further amount of the further draws that you all took for your EIDL. But again, I haven't seen anything in, or haven't seen much of 2022 yet, but a lot of these financing activities and the programs that you all were taking advantage of under this COVID-19 relief funds certainly are helping your overall cash flow and cash position there. Now, after this page 8 starts with the footnotes, many of these are consistent to what you've seen in the past, but I will tell you what did change. But note one is really your nature of operations. Note two is your accounting policies. This summarizes, really how you all are doing your debits and credits in your day-to-day operations. And anyone can look at note two and kind of see how you're accounting for things. So this all covers your basic and your major accounting policies, which are all within GAAP, and they're all being consistently applied. I do want to bring your attention that there is a recently issued accounting pronouncement that's impacting all nonprofits. This is a leasing standard where, some of the accounting around your operating lease for your properties, it'll change a little bit how it's presented on the balance sheet. I'll say that, not to kind of bore you with accounting jargon, but this is something that we're working through with our clients. I don't anticipate it having huge ramifications, at least from a financial standpoint, for Pacifica. It'll just be a different presentation item, and there'll be a couple of different things disclosed. But some of our clients are early adopting that standard, and for the most part, there's not really any impact in terms of the operations or having a large impact, a negative impact to your profit and loss or anything. It's more of a presentation pronouncement, where we have to make sure that you understand what's going on and how things are going to be different on this audit. But that's not effective until 2023. So we're still about a year and a half away. Just wanted to bring your attention that is disclosed in these financial statements. We also mentioned a subsequent event here on the bottom of page 13 regarding those property taxes that you all ultimately got exempt for on the KPFA properties. Moving forward, these other footnotes just provide some further color and support to the major transactions and balances that I already went over. We provided some updates to your Paycheck Protection Program saying you got another draw in 2021 and that ultimately was forgiven in August of 2021 prior to year end. We also touch on, as I alluded to, that in economic injury disaster loan, that it was you all originally drew down $150,000 and that after subsequent to year end, you upped that amount to $2 million. Pursuant and under the exact same program and under the same term. So again, just a couple things that have occurred that we did want to put in these footnotes regarding some subsequent transactions that are certainly important for the financial reader to know. After that footnote talks about the endowment, we've had this in here. All this is just endowment disclosures regarding the small amount endowment you do have with KPFA. We then get into talking about operating leases. This is all stuff you've seen before. footnote 12, you'll notice this is much shorter. This is our pension plans. This was a lengthy discussion in previous years when there was a lot of issues in cleanup and trying to catch everything up with your pension plan. So, footnote 12 is much shorter this year because, again, we only have to disclose the events of 21 and 20. And because you catch up and remedied all the DOL matters, there's no point in putting that in there, especially since obviously that was the part that was triggering the qualified opinion, and that's no longer an issue. So that's why you see footnote 12 as a much smaller, much shorter footnote. We then get into these footnotes regarding the going concern about the results of operation and the substantial doubt and what the plans are. So, some of this stuff that, there's always, you've had plans in place and some of these things you've seen in the previous audit, because again, still catching up and trying to get everything current and trying to formulate and figure out things now, but there are some good things, for example, that happened, the ESRT, from that settlement agreement and amassing that debt in 2018, you were able to renegotiate that and ensure that that was actually not going to be a due up in this year because it was going to be due in October 22. Now, at this current moment, it's not going to be due up or not be called upon until October 2024. So that was a recent development as well. That's certainly helping, at least push that ball down the court and hopefully that's, things kind of turn around where you'll be able to ultimately pay that down. But again, that is a good development there. And then, we talk a little bit about, obviously, you all contracted with NETA. And, the fact that an update for that, of course, and that should be no surprise, but they did give notice that, this will be the last audit and they'll be exiting working with Pacifica effective on or around September 30th of this year. So that is something new. And I know that I spoke with Stephanie and that there's plans in place, hopefully, that to try to replace them and ultimately maybe have some internal hirings and also have some external folks as well to continue, the great effort and the great cleanup that NETA was working with Pacifica on. So, I know that's kind of a big deal and something that you, as the audit committee, want to be monitoring as to what those plans will be in place. But, as of for this audit, for this 2021 audit, everything went really well in terms of working with NETA, getting the information we needed from the stations, and ultimately issuing this audit report. So, it's going to be some big shoes to fill for sure. But, speaking with Stephanie, she feels confident that there's a plan in place to get things, continue the work and the progress that NETA did has worked with Pacifica, and ultimately ensuring that, all the financials are getting done, things are being current, stuff is getting more uniformed and stuff like that. So not to spend too much more time on that, but that is disclosed in this footnote on footnote 16. Last but not least.
Excuse me, can we stay there on 16?
Absolutely, yes.
Can you stay on number 16?
Yes, question? Yeah, do you have a question?
Well, Elizabeth has her hand up before me, and then I'd like to go next.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I guess we can take a break for a minute. Am I still muted? Or can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you.
Okay, good. I'm getting mixed signals here on my toolbox. Elizabeth, go ahead with your question or comment. Elizabeth?
Yes, I'm sorry, but I'm having difficulty with using the phone. Okay, my question, I've got several questions, and so I was willing to wait until he finished, because it was fine for me to wait. I was just putting my hand up in order to be on stack, that's all.
Please don't interrupt.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, would you like to wait then? We can do that.
Yeah, I can wait.
Okay. Stella, did you wish to speak right now?
Okay, now I have several questions, George. Thank you so much for this rundown. Can we go back to page, hold on. Regarding, you said that we're doing rather well versus 20 fiscal year, but with a 15,000 deficit in cash position. Okay. But you also mentioned earlier that we have a $2 million from the EIDL loans, regarding those were payroll plus loans that will be carried over, meaning accrued for next fiscal year. Then my question is, because then you said, but next year, I have not seen much of it, but for fiscal year 22, it should be even better. But if we're going to be carrying that $2 million accrual, it will impact. The other thing is regarding the KPFA property taxes, the difference being $45,500. When was that taken care of? Please say that it was already in this fiscal year. And then my next question is on 16. On number 16, I would like for you to take quality time and go over this area with everybody, because this is a very essential part of the management report. And then I'll have further questions if you can address those.
Yep.
Thank you.
To address your first question, to your point, you are right that the $2 million accrual could impact your accrual basis change. Okay. What I was saying was that it could be good for your cash flow. The fact that you're getting a cash infusion of $2 million from this loan program. Obviously cash flow has been an issue at Pacifica, and that's not the same as your results of operations. So, right. It's a balancing act at that point, but I was mentioning that your cash flow could be better in 2022. But to your point, it's going to be a liability on your balance sheet. So that's going to, from an accrual based standpoint, it's not the best thing to have, but again, a cash infusion is always a good thing to be looking at when you have a struggling organization such as Pacifica. So, that's a good point you make, but I was really just focusing on that cash flow when I mentioned that 2022 could be better from that standpoint. Now, your second question of the KPFA
property taxes.
Yeah, we just found out about the exemption, I think about a week or week and a half ago. So we were working with calculating and lowering that the accrual that's been on the books for some time. And you know, at this juncture, I'm not sure if that's been paid yet or if it's when it's planning on being paid with whatever that delta is. But, you know, from my experience, if you're waiting to hear back and get and figuring out, okay, well, how much are really we going to owe for this? Or what's going to be the conclusion on this? It's best to wait and see how this thing shakes out, which again, it just shook out about a week and a half ago. And, I don't have any really current update as to what is that $45,000 that's still owed, when that will be paid or what the plan is for that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Too bad. And,
thank you. Thank you, Jorge.
Yeah, if I may,
and number 16.
And Jorge.
Yeah. Go ahead, George.
If I might, just on that matter, they are waiting for the actual adjusted bills. So the liability remaining is a conservative estimate, meaning hopefully high, and so that the actuals will come in lower. So so there's no actual bills yet in hand.
Yeah. And thanks, George.
Thank you so much for that. What I did was I took the difference the settlement
Bella?
Was.
Bella?
I have a follow-up.
You're not on the, you have not been given the floor.
Let's
have Jorge continue with this presentation.
I would like to finish my thoughts since this is concerning the property taxes.
All right, 1 minute, Marilyn. Go ahead, Bella. 1 minute.
Thank you. So, George, what I did was I took what was the actual debt, original debt, and then I took the forgiven settlement. And the difference is $45,335. So if that has not been paid, that should show as a payable, as a liability on KPFA's books. But I don't see that. I don't believe that adjustment was made at year end, or was it made at year end? See what I'm talking about?
Yes, it's there. It's sitting in this accrued expenses and accrued expense and payroll benefits in this line item on the balance sheet. So, yes, it is included in a liability at KPFA at year end. It's just not.
Okay.
It's not on its own line item.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you.
Oh, you're done. Thank you. In terms of point 16, I think we're all interested in hearing about that. So
sure.
I don't know if that's something you'd want to come back to go into more detail.
No, it's a good time to do. I mean, I'm almost through the financials. So.
Okay,
so basically, anytime there's an organization that's going through some financial difficulties or has amassed some large debt or has had a couple rough years in a row from a P&L standpoint, or all of the above, we have to evaluate to see if there's plans in place if they can essentially exist within 1 year after issuance of these financial statements. So as an auditor, I have to evaluate that and get comfort over that. And for you all, and what management helps me and what any TAs help me with, and of course you all, the committee as well, is showing kind of what has happened to make this a problem, and also what is being done or what's the plans for the future to help really turn this ship. So the first part of this is on page 28, talking about what events or what things did occur that could really raise this issue. Now, the settlement agreement ESRT, which we're all familiar of, in 2018, that created the large debt on the books. Now, this is something that certainly, if, for example, this could be called upon before, 12 months from today, just as say we issued today, I'm just saying, that's something that I would have to consider as an auditor and weigh all the factors to see, okay, well, is this going to be something that's going to impact the opinion or not? So, we have to emphasize that there is a going concern, but again, it's not impacting your overall opinion, as it's just an emphasis of matter in your financial statements. But the first part of this is discussing the fact that you do have a large unsecured debt on the books. Now, we also, and a lot of this is you've seen from the previous years. I mean, we wordsmithed it a little bit, but this footnote, a lot of it is consistent to what you've seen. Now, we then, after talking about the debt, we have to then mention, okay, well, what's management's evaluation? Okay. And how, and what is this, and really what we're going to, how you're going to figure out how to pay this thing. So, now there's a lot of terms and conditions of this, and there is a good relationship with the debtor. And, it seems that yes, there are some covenants and things, but it continues to move, and continue to be able to move that balloon payment to the future. And so, obviously, ultimately, you're going to have to pay it at some point. And, you're going to want to just because for the sheer fact that you're paying a lot of interest on this instrument. But again, this is all kind of pointed out in this footnote, that it really is that by the fact that you have this debt that's coming due, and also the fact that you don't haven't had a lot of strong years in a row from operations. That's really the basis and of this footnote. Now, once we kind of talk about, okay, well, yes, this is a going concern, and this is why there is some substantial doubt, it's important for management to describe what are the plans in place and what are you formulating to ultimately do this. Now, the good things and the good news on that debt is that you were able to pay some principal payments in 2022. So that certainly is helping bringing down that balance, which we have disclosed here, excuse me, 29. It then also talks further about, again, the scope of the services. And this was a little bit, because we're on the fiscal year 21 audit, the fact that you all hired NETA to kind of get you all current and get through some of these issues, such as the benefit plan audits, such as trying to really centralize certain things and tasks, and try and we still have a lot of stuff in here about what did NETA come on and start doing for you all? Because, it's crazy to think, but it's only been a couple years that you all have been working with NETA, and what the scope of those services were, as well as, how much work has been done since January 2019 to get us to where you are today. So that's relevant in the sense that they were still, and they will be essentially contracted through this fiscal year 22. And that's relevant to the sense that, hopefully whoever does come in and take over for them, it'll be a much easier transition, because there's a lot of work that they did to hopefully make that transition a little easier. So we do mention the fact of the scope of services here, and also, again, that they will be not renewing their contract effective around the end of this upcoming fiscal year, September 30th, 2022. After talking about the NETA relationship, we then further talk about the fact that there is, the Radio Research Consortium, that, there's some opportunities there to hopefully fundraise better, get some more unrestricted public donations to hopefully climb out of certain things that have been happening with Pacifica, and obviously help pay off any debt and stuff like that. So, again, I think there's a lot of things in place. And of course, you all going through the transition of another executive director. I think there's things working, and it's obviously, you all know this, but it's not something that is going to be fixed or remedied overnight, but it seems that there are things in place to hopefully ultimately dig out of this hole. And then, you wouldn't have a going concern going concern paragraph in your audit report. So, you know, again, that's just slowly going through this, but it's really just us as auditors evaluating the information that we're seeing, looking at your plans and procedures and seeing if we all think that you, you know, you're able to sustain and continue to be an organization for a year after the year after issuance. Okay. So
I'm sorry,
again, that's,
I do not understand a year after what?
Issuance of these financial statements.
Okay.
Yeah. So once these are final, I should say, so, you know, any day now. And that actually changed, you know, a few years ago, it actually only used to be 12 months after, the fiscal year under audit. So, you know, that would be, you know, upcoming in a month or so, but the auditing standards changed. Whereas, we have to evaluate now whether or not, we think an organization will be able to survive a year after the date that we finalize this audit. So with that, you know, that's really the end of, you know, just to briefly touch on this, and then I'll open up the floor for questions, I promise. We touch on the income tax state that you're exempt from C3 of the code. And then, as I pointed to, your supplemental schedules, which are optional schedules here, which breaks out the balance sheet. I know this is small, so you probably can't see, but if you had a copy of your own, you can blow it up. The balance sheet by division, as well as the eliminating entries. And then it also shows the statement of activities or the P&L by division. So we take transactions and we look at records and transactions and balances on all the divisions. We issue one opinion. So we combine all the books and records and the finances. We issue one opinion. And this is supplemental schedules where you all like to see this broken up by division. And this has both years, 2021 and 2020, but all the totals roll up to the previous pages that I already discussed. And again, it's just some further information and further color about the segmenting everything by each division. So, you know, with that, I'll just open up the floor to any further questions about the process, these footnotes, or even the financial statements. So.
Okay, thank you, Jorge. Elizabeth had her hand
up. Yes, hi. Thank you, Jorge, for giving us such a very good rundown. You know, as you probably know, this is my first time on the audit committee, so there might be some questions that might seem, can you hear me? Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay, good. So there might be some questions that might be very, very easy for other people, but not for me. I'm looking at the issue of legal fees, and I see, for example, first of all, I wanted to know something. Why are board meetings and elections put under the same line item? I'm wondering how much exactly do the elections did the elections cost, the fact that we had to have two bylaw referendums? If that's the election we're talking about, I have several questions, so please bear with me. I'm going to try to make them very clear. So the board meetings and elections are under the same line item, but I'd like to know if there's a reason for that, or if you can, or if there's some kind of information as to how much the actual elections, aside from the board meetings, cost. The other thing that I wanted to know is there was a cost here for under the schedule of financial position by division under an expense. Hold on, I'm looking here. Under 2020 schedule of activities, and I'm looking to see where exactly was the wire transfer. To the $80,000 wire transfer from KPFA to Foster and Garvey to provide legal support for those who had closed down WBAI, and I'm also looking to find out where the location would be in this financial statement. Of the losses that WBAI incurred and the loss of equipment and computers as a result of the shutdown. And where it would be also reflected their loss in income because they were in the middle of a financial drive, if that was is reflected in any way in terms of 2020.
Okay, Elizabeth, that's your time's up.
Thank you.
Yeah, some of the 2020 things, I know, and to your point, I know this is the first time you're on the committee. I'd have to look back at last year's audit file to try and jump into those since that was almost a year ago. But 2021, your question regarding the board meetings and elections, NETA, we can get a breakdown of that and let you know how much was elections versus board meetings. But this, in terms of how you're rolling up your statement of functional expenses, it really doesn't have to be, you know, super detailed, but it doesn't have to be also summarized. So it's really a client preference as to how you're kind of grouping these things and what you ultimately think is important to kind of combine and group. Now, so that's something that I'll have to, unless George Walter, unless you have that information readily available, I'll have to look and see what that breakout is and get back to you.
I don't have that breakdown. It's these are historical conventional groupings, no changes.
But that's something we can certainly get back to you after this call. Now, in terms of
Eileen, at some point I'd like to do a follow up question when we have time, please.
Okay. Afterwards, though. Okay, Marilyn. Jorge and George, were you finished?
I was just going to say, last point about there's a lot of intercompany transactions between the stations, and that's reflected in, if you look in the back of the audit report, and actually show you here, you can see that there are interdivision payables and interdivision receivables. So these are the balances where you're kind of when you're moving some funds, you're paying, or some of the division are paying for central services, for example, which is a primary example, you use those accounts to move things back and forth. So you're not necessarily going to see one transaction, which I think you said about $80,000 or something, in this financial statement. It'll be essentially flowing through those what they call intercompany accounts, for which it'll be captured there and then ultimately reported here in the balance and eliminated. So it's not something where you can essentially point to, but it's really just to make sure that, you know, if something is occurring, if $80,000 is going from one station to another, you have to have those on both sides so it ultimately balances out and gets eliminated. So that's something that, you know, obviously I know occurs from time to time. But that's not something you'd necessarily see in the company-wide financial statement audit.
Okay. Marilyn, you're next.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Jorge for that summary and for his report. I'm really relieved hearing that you say it didn't sound so bad at all. And I know we are still not quite called a going concern, but do you think that the improvements we've made will help us when we go seek grants, even though because you put so much optimism in it, I think that's good, that we have learned how to deal with our own finances? We will be able to go ahead and do it right. Do you feel that we are in a good position to do that? And do you think donors that we would go to with our audits would have a much better impression of us now?
Well, I mean, you know, I can't speak for what all donors do look at prior to them deciding, you know, what nonprofits they're going to be giving to you. But certainly anytime organizations that we deal with don't have clean audit opinions, that's that's pretty detrimental to grants. And I think a lot of times you can't even apply to grants if you don't have a clean audit opinion. So the fact that you're finally current and clean, that's probably, I don't have a crystal ball, nor do you, but that certainly can't hurt in terms of trying to apply for these grants. And really, it's just a matter of, being able to kind of access those programs and other things. But you're getting, there's still, there's still work to be done in terms of getting you even further, more current and stuff like that. But the fact that you do have a lot of big events in the rearview mirror, such as, again, the all those issues that we had in the past with, or that you all had in the past with the benefit plans, that's obviously great success that you've all had. And now that this financial statement audit is a clean opinion, a donor may look at that and say, oh, well, they have this huge unsecured debt amassed on their balance sheet, and that could eliminate you. So, some of that stuff's beyond your control and ultimately may work against you. But in terms of how the audit started a couple years ago and how they're going now, I'd say just that certainly should help you moving forward. But again, I'm not a fundraiser, so I'm not entirely sure.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Jorge.